from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
I do not need church steeples, I have Christ. I do not need baptistries, I have Christ. I do not need pews, I have Christ. I don't need stained glass windows, I have Christ. I don't need choir lofts, I have Christ. I don't need PhD pastors, I have Christ. I don't need Bible college, I have Christ. I don't need church buildings, I have Christ. I don't need small groups, I have Christ. I don't need to be part of a parking lot ministry. I have Christ. I don't need big buildings with pretty lights. I have Christ. I'm not waiting for signs. I'm looking for the sun. I have all that I need in Christ and the scriptures. Why add to it?
Don't you need those little yellow signs with the spinning daisies?
No.
Oh.
I don't need those either.
Fantastic.
I feel like Steve Martin in The Jerk.
That's all I need.
That's all I need.
I need this,
but that's all I need.
I can say I was born a rich child of God. I need nothing else.
I need this Bible. But that's all I need.
That's all I need. We have Christ.
Yes.
Isn't that great? We're waiting for somebody, not something. We're not looking for signs. We're waiting for the sun.
And as we ended yesterday's show, there's no time peg. I think that's important, too. This is supposed to be a current expectation.
It's a current, and you cannot have an expectation if you don't know where you stand with God. People keep trying to talk you out of your salvation. You've not measured up. You've not done enough. You still got to do this. You still got to do that. You can't be waiting for Christ if you don't know whether you're going to be with Christ.
Well, I used to believe in the so-called rapture back when I was a Christian back in 1986, and then again, I was talked out of it by these people who are pointing out the 144,000.
Yeah.
I was screwed up for a while there because they're pointing me back to the terrestrial message, and then when I saw the distinction between the call of Paul and the call of Peter, then it all made sense. This for this and that for that. It's so wonderful when you can believe all of God's word and not sweep some of it under the rug because it doesn't fit the template.
That's right.
There are two templates, folks. There's the template of the body of Christ and the template of the bride of the Lamb. When you distinguish them, all of a sudden the whole word makes sense, and it's like a key that locks so many doors in the scripture. Grace versus law. How do I make James fit with Paul?
You don't.
How do I make the red
letters?
Let's
repeat that.
Yes.
You don't make them fit. James is addressing the 12 tribes of Israel.
It's the address.
Paul
on the
is addressing the nations. It's that simple. Look at the name, the address on the envelope. Look at the address on the envelope. It's addressed to somebody else.
That was so epic last week when you said Hebrews was written to Hebrews.
Hello.
Oh, I've never heard that in church.
Never heard it in church.
No,
and here's the important thing. If you do not rightly divide the word of truth, or as the Concordant Version reads, if you do not correctly cut the word of truth, you will either come to a passage of scripture that you will either ignore or modify.
Right.
And if you don't correctly cut the word of truth, you modify scripture by saying James and Paul have to be harmonized.
And when you harmonize James and Paul, you either have to water down Paul or lift up James.
Yeah, Romans 4 is addressing the heathen. James 2 is addressing people who already were in covenant relationship with God. It is so it's so plain. How can you miss it unless you ignore or modify the scriptures? To make James 2 and Romans 4 say the same thing is a modification. You're changing the word of God to suit your own ignorance. Don't do that. Let it stand where it is. Let God address who he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and stop questioning him about it.
Well said, Sheridan.
All right, can we go home now? It's Friday.
Well, we could. You know, technically we still have like 9 minutes left of the show, but
okay.
if we're done, we're done. I mean, you know.
Okay, let's go on.
Let's get out of here.
What do you got?
Well, you know, we were talking about the dispensations, and people say, when are you going to... We did talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
That God does different things at different times. Dispensation is merely a word that means what is given, and an administration is the arrangement of affairs during which that thing's given.
Why are you staring at me like that?
I don't know.
You're pausing.
Well,
are you waiting for me to
say something? No, I'm gathering my thoughts.
I'm sitting here marveling over your intelligence, so please keep talking.
I know. We quoted John 1:17. We talked about the law through Moses was given. This is dispensationalism, so-called, in a nutshell. The law through Moses was given. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. Two different things. Now, that's just one instance. We see law and grace, but there are 12 different administrations, 12 different things God does. And this is just a teaser because we're going to get into detail on these, I'm hoping, next week. But you never know with us.
And I will have on paulsevangel.com a chart that lays all these things
out. You will?
Yes, I will. It's called the Divine Calendar. It'll be a four-color chart. You can go to the site. And you can it's a JPEG image. Anyone can download it. You can print it out, look at it. It'll be helpful.
Yeah, do you know what's going to happen?
What's going
to
happen?
I make a prediction to you today.
Prediction.
As soon as we put a chart up, people are going to say, oh, so you guys have God in a box. Oh, so it can all be put down in a chart. And the charts, I've heard people say to me, a chart is unspiritual. We don't need charts. God's not in a box. You can't say what God does when.
I didn't say
yes,
the chart was. I didn't say the chart was divinely inspired. It's a way of writing down what God said in His Word. What's
exactly
the big deal?
I know, but I'm telling you, people look at that and they say it's unspiritual. If you have to chart
who cares?
It out, we don't have to chart it out. It's helpful
for sane thinking people.
We're
going to make the
people,
chart up available.
We're going to show you the distinctions of what God does when. There was a time in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve did not know the difference between good and evil. And then there was a time when they did know the difference between good and evil. Those are two different administrations and dispensations. One is innocence.
Yes.
In innocence, they did not know. They were prone, they were destined to fall because they didn't know the difference between good and evil. After they partook of the forbidden fruit, they knew the difference between good and evil. And then they had a conscience. God at that time gave a conscience. That was a whole different thing. And for a long time, mankind went with a conscience only. There was no human government at all. But then comes a time where human government comes in. It wasn't always that way.
That's Genesis 9.
Genesis 9, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to go into the details of these. And when you see these, you will realize that we're not making this stuff up.
Yep.
This stuff is in the Scripture. And as far as charts go, we are merely pointing out and distinguishing what God has already distinguished.
All right, what comes
there
after?
There came to a time in history when God made a promise to one man. Abraham.
Benny Hinn?
No, not Benny Hinn. And not
Billy
Jimmy
Graham?
Page. Not Billy Graham. To take another guess. I already said it, but you missed it. Went right over your head. God talked to one man. He went thousands of years, didn't talk to anybody in particular.
Abraham?
And then he called Abraham. And he gave him a promise. And there was an era of promise. And then the law came through Moses on a certain day. I was August 1st, 17, whatever year it was, there was a day when the law came, and the day before, there was no law.
Right.
And so there was a change, and that becomes a change not only of the way things are done, but a change in what is given during that time
period. And to show
you
there was a difference, in Exodus, if you read Exodus 15, 16, 17, and 18, they murmured and complained, and God dealt with them, gave them bread, gave them water.
Yeah.
The same sins committed in the book of Numbers, God killed them for it.
That's a great example.
Why? Because now they were under law.
And that sin
took the form of a transgression.
On Wednesday you live, on Thursday you die.
That's right. The same thing you did on Thursday will kill you on Friday because of a change of administrations.
I love that. The administrations are clearly in the Scriptures. It's clear. And again, don't stumble over the theological term.
So number one,
Wait a minute.
Did I interrupt you again?
No, yes you did.
Sorry, Joe in Pittsburgh.
I have interrupted you several times. So you... You owe.
Oh,
I
good.
Owe
well, let's go with
this. Interruptions.
Then. So first we have innocence. Then we have conscience. Then we have government.
Yep, plainly in Scripture, right?
Then we have
a promise.
And then in Exodus 20 we have
the law came.
So those are five administrations.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What's
and
next?
And then something happened. Something really wild and crazy happened that had never happened before. What would you say? I'm going to quiz you here. What's the next great change in God's administration?
The next great change in God's.
And it happened on a Tuesday at 6 p.m. in a barn.
Huh. Tuesday, hold on a second. Duke,
6 p.m.
What's number six?
Tuesday, 6 p.m. in a barn. It was a year like...
He just put up his hand and said, leave me alone. I think he's eating a ham sandwich watching the game still.
All right, great.
All right, what's number six?
It's nice to know that he's taking care of the audio quality of our show.
He's still icing from his hands.
Do you remember that verse I gave you in John 1:17? What did I say?
Truth came in through Jesus Christ.
The Son of God was born in a manger, was born through a woman in a barn in Israel, in the city of Bethlehem, on whatever,
okay,
at
7
p.m.
Okay, so that's
PM.
Number
that,
six?
That was a new administration beginning, and that's the administration of grace and truth coming through a person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's six.
Okay.
And then he died, he was raised from the dead, and now the Spirit came on a group of people called the disciples in the upper room with power, and we saw a new administration beginning of a Pentecostal administration.
That's
our Lord
seven.
Gave Peter the keys to the kingdom.
You mean Acts 2 is not the start of the body of Christ?
No, see, we're only on number seven, man.
Wow.
You got to follow God. God does different things at different times.
Wow.
And he gave Peter the keys to you. I give the keys to the kingdom of the heaven. And Peter
right.
used those keys in Acts chapter 2,
okay.
and it's called the Pentecostal administration. It was an administration, and what is dispensed, what is given, the dispensation is the Spirit with power. The Spirit
okay.
came on with power.
All right.
Makes perfect sense. But then we see something strange happening. The kingdom starts to recede. The kingdom is not coming.
Because
something
Israel's
happens.
Rejecting it.
Israel is rejecting it. And then
the message through the 12 apostles,
is
right?
being rejected. And then we see in Acts chapter 9, the radical Pharisee named Saul heading to
Saul of Tarsus.
Is called, and all this time we see a readjustment.
So there's an adjustment period going on. Acts 1 through 12 is Pentecostal, and
yes.
Acts 13 to 28 is an adjustment, a readjusting.
Yes, there's a new man on the scene. There's a new kid in town.
The Apostle
and
Paul.
And it is the Apostle Paul, and it's the beginning of a new administration, and new things are being dispensed. This
yes.
is how simple it is. Different things at different times. That's what's behind the imposing theological term dispensation.
Okay, let's move on.
We are moving on.
Number nine.
Yes. Paul revealed truth when he was in prison in Rome that no one had ever heard before concerning the celestial destiny of the saints, which is the body of Christ.
That's when he pronounced the judgment on Israel, that they're finally done for. The transition period's over, and now we come to the...
Yes. God is giving Israel so-called chance all the way through the book of Acts. And finally, at the last chapter of the book of Acts, Paul closes the door on Israel and begins a new administration. It's the administration of the secret. You'll find it in the book of Ephesians. And as we said last week or earlier this week, it is what is dispensed during this administration is transcendent grace.
Okay, number 10.
We're in the period of the nations now. What Paul started is still going on today.
Yeah.
There is a day of indignation coming on.
That's number 10.
That's number
Great
10.
Tribulation
when the body
period.
Of Christ is snatched away to meet their Lord in the air, and the day of indignation, that's a new administration. And what's dispensed is judgment.
Okay.
After that, there is a kingdom coming. A 1,000-year kingdom in which the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's a new administration, and righteousness is dispensed to the nations.
And then follows the great white throne judgment
on
to the new heavens and new earth.
And then we have a new heavens and a new earth. And folks, we're not making any of this
and up. That's number 12,
and that's
the
number
new heavens
12.
And new earth.
And 12 is a great number to God because it's the number of government, it's the number of order, it's a number that he loves very much, and this is no accident. There are 12 of these time periods. And if you don't believe that, I don't know what the heck you believe.
Okay.
I really don't. And we're
going to
get into details on that.
That's not the end.
That is not the end.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
not
even the end. That's not even the end. We're not geniuses. We have just studied the Word of God, and these distinctions are in there. We're giving them to you. We hope you're getting it. If you do get it, write us, please, and tell us that you're getting it. We need to know you're listening.
Study Paul's letters until your eyes fall out of your sockets.
Yes, do
that.
Have
a great weekend, everyone.
We'll be back Monday. Thanks.